Warning, incoming transmission.
Welcome to the infected.
Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to The Infected, your podcast in which we discuss post-punk, darkwave, and much, much more music. Jeroen and I dig up classics and new work, as you know, and share the stories behind the bands and songs with you. As you may have noticed, it's been 4 weeks since we've uploaded our last episode. That's because my wife and I have been infected with the COVID-19 virus, unfortunately, and I can tell you, it sucks big time. So stay safe and avoid it at all costs if you can. Instead, let's get infected with some great music right now and get the show on the road, shall we?
Yeah.
These are the Severed Heads with their catchy but also quite sinister track, Dead Eyes Opened.
Goof.
Why does it feel like I've known severed heads for all my life?
Well, I'm not sure if I can answer that, man, but I'm sure you've heard this song plenty of times, right?
Yes. And I was trying to figure out why I've heard it so often and how come? Why is this so popular?
I'm not sure, man. I think this can be easily mixed into like mixes we listen to, like with dark wave, but also with some poppy tunes, some catchy tunes. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's DJ friendly. Maybe that's it.
DJ friendly. That's right. Yeah, beat matching and DJ friendly, perhaps. It's also a quite long one with 6 minutes and 33 seconds. There's also even a slowed down version on YouTube that's played at, what is it? Like, not 33 RPM, but half of it. A spaced out version.
78?
That's faster, I believe. 15.
Which is not really half of 33, yeah. But everybody... Bear with me.
That's even space here, but let me share a bit of background about these guys and maybe things will fall into place. So Severed Heads were one of the pioneering acts of the alternative music scene in Australia back in the 80s. And Australia didn't feature a lot of bands, I think, in the genre that we love. But these guys were from Sydney and they wanted to pick a band name that stuck. And they did so with Severed Heads, right? Not an easy name to forget.
No, very graphic.
Anyway, their sound evolved constantly from their start in 1979 to their retirement in 2008. And a fun fact is that they also used a wide variety of formats and carriers to distribute their music. So they soon got frustrated with the cost and limitations of releasing their music on vinyl. Because if you want to sound decent, you can only fit like a maximum of, 20 minutes per side on 33 RPM vinyl, something like that, 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, 22.
So the Severed Heads 1983 album, Since the Accident, was initially released on a 60-minute cassette. And to fill out all 60 minutes, they added the song Dead Eyes Opened, which we just listened to. And to the end of the running order, they just fitted this track in to fill it up. And we all need a little luck sometimes in our lives. And for Severed Heads, as luck would have it, the tune was catchy enough that the Severed Heads scored a record deal with Ink Records in the UK. And also, that label had an extension into Australia. And the track became a minor hit, actually. And years later...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did.
Where? In Australia or...
I'm not sure. I think also on the European continent, because you've heard it before. I've heard it many times before. So I think maybe on both continents. Who knows? And years later, the Severed Heads began documenting their work also on CD-ROM carriers in 1994. And they were also one of the first Australian bands with a presence on the internet in that time.
Wow.
1994. So I had to dial in to the internet with the modem, with all the noises. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And the group included also an email address on the artwork, so fans could directly communicate with the group. Really new at that time. And new media were really embraced by the Severed Heads, as it allowed Severed Heads to work with greater independence and more distribution power. They also released some issues on CDRs, recordable CDs, and later MP3s as one of the first. Have you listened to the lyrics of this track, by the way, Jeroen?
I didn't pay particular attention, no.
That's okay. Like Dead Eyes Opened, and the lyrics also remind me of the many criminal psychology videos that I've been watching on YouTube lately.
Yeah.
It's very interesting stuff.
Another dark hobby.
So you go from the documentaries of Ted Bundy to interrogation videos of serial killers, kind of interesting stuff that I like to watch. The lyrics of this track are taken from a radio show that documented the gruesome murder of Emily Kay. That's dating back to 1924, a long time ago in Australia. And the lyrics of Dead Eyes Opened go like this. By strange coincidence, a thunderstorm had been brewing when Mayen, doing his grisly work at the bungalow, was dealing with the most grisly job of all, the head, the woman's head. He had severed it from the trunk, built a huge fire in the sitting room, and placed her head upon it. Then the storm broke with a violent flash of lightning and an appalling crash of thunder. As the head of Emily Kay lay upon the coals, her dead eyes opened, and Mayen fled out to the deserted shore. When he nerved himself to return, the fire had done its work. So for a catchy song like this, if you listen to it again and catch the lyrics, it's fucking sinister at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just wanted to share that.
Wow, that's really quite different from the atmosphere that the music conveys.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Totally, bro.
Good
right?
story, though. Yeah.
So, can we light it up or can we continue onto this dark path? What shall we do?
Yeah, I've stopped lighting up quite a few years ago, although some songs make you want to relapse. Yeah, I want to talk to you about a new band, at least a band that's new for me, in our Cover Me section.
Okay.
Cover Me!
The next band is called Sjöblom, or Blom. The problem is it's Swedish and I really don't know, but I guess it's something like Sjöblom.
That makes the two of us. I'll go with Sjöblom.
Yeah, I'd never heard of them, but recently our listener Seb from the Netherlands tipped us a couple of acts. And from his selection, I really liked Sjöblom. Thanks, Seb. Much appreciated. So Sjöblom appear in the Cover Me section performing a cover from one of my favorite bands from the 80s, Alphaville, Victory of Love. Here is the 2019 version of it by Sjöblom, Victory of Love.
Is it me or is it a quite short track? could go on for a couple of more minutes, right?
Well, I guess the original is also not very much longer. And all in all, it's 3 minutes and 44 seconds, so it's not terribly short. It's even too long according to your golden standards rule.
True, true. It's not my golden standard, but the calculated golden standard of, what was it again? Like 2 minutes, 40 seconds or something. But
yeah,
it may be because the track is split into two parts, because it starts off with a kind of military marching beat, and then it's loosening up, really loosening up after 2 minutes. Really like the singer, good voice. So maybe I just hooked on to the second part that made me wanted to go on for longer or something. Could be that.
Following that theory, it's like two really short tracks of 2 minutes.
something like that. Yeah, really. But I don't know the original, by the way, Alphaville.
You don't know that, the one?
No.
We have to have Alphaville in the show. I didn't want to put them in a show before Alphaville because I really love the music, but the production value is really not there.
Mm.
Listening to it these days really usually just makes me sad that it sounds so shitty, and so I hadn't been listening to Alphaville for a while. And I just recently, now that I was doing my research for this track, I found out that in 2019, actually, they've remastered the original Alphaville album. So now it's much better.
Cool.
I think I'll pick an Alphaville song for one of the coming episodes, so we can enjoy them some more. But the songwriting is great. The first 2 minutes is very respectful of the original. So it's all electronic and it's the exact same rhythm. And then after 2 minutes, you sort of pick it up, and then they give it their own treatment, and they turn the song around, and they still remain respectful to the original, but then they give it the Sherblom treatment. Mm-hmm. That makes it a very interesting cover, as far as I'm concerned.
I have to agree. Usually remastering is a term that I'd like to avoid, because that meant the loudness war. When the iPod Shuffle came along and everybody started to listen to things digitally, it had to be loud, because everybody was listening to these small headphones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Remastering with keeping the dynamics, that was kind of like thrown overboard. But in this case, remastering sounds like a good plan if the original was so poor.
If it sounds really shitty, you know, remastering might be a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So about Sherblom, they're a Swedish indie project. They're founded in 2016 by Johan, a veteran of several other indie pop and post-punk bands. And the Sherblom version of this track has some interesting dynamics. To me, the song is special because it reminds me of a trip to Berlin in 1990. Yes, I'm that old, people. Two friends and I drove an ancient Volkswagen Polo there. We were camping in the wild and washing up at gas stations because we just had no money. The Berlin Wall had just fallen and the Football World Championship tournament was being played at the time. The German team ultimately won that tournament and became world champions. It was a weird time. It felt like after years of being separated, the East and West Germans had suddenly found each other and the country was drunk on feelings of nationalism. We were standing in the middle of Berlin near the Siegessäule when the German World Championship was celebrated and German flags from every period in history were flying high. The cold, melancholy electronic music of Alphaville was somehow a fitting soundtrack to all of that.
Cool. Cool backstory.
Yeah.
So what else does Alphaville, I know them from like Big in Japan, that's the hit they did basically, right?
Yeah, they had a couple of hits, but the Big in Japan is the biggest one.
Okay, so I'd like to hear more of them from your picking, of course.
Yep.
So I can also share some recent great music with you right now. It's from the Death Bells, and they are from Australia, again.
Hey.
So I could have made this into like a hat trick of three parts, but this is a second band from Australia, just by coincidence, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we listen to it first and then discuss it later, or?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So the song is called Nothing Changes by the Death Bells. Here we go.
right. Man, that's a lot of energy and frustration.
Yes.
If I'm listening to the lyrics well.
Well summarized, my friend. It's also 2 minutes and 40 seconds, the magic mark.
Yeah.
All action really put into a short song.
No, it hits a spot though.
The great thing about Spotify algorithms is that you get suggestions and you listen to them and you discover more. And this is one of the bands that really did it for me. So this song is from 2017, so I'm going to dig right in if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
The Death Bells are basically two guys from Australia, and they are Will Canning and Remy Vesalis, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And they formed the band in 2015 during their late adolescent years. And they picked their band name from a movie called Death Bells. A death bell is also a bell that you hear at a funeral as a symbol for passing away and transitioning into the other world. So there's more behind it than just that movie reference. Mm-hmm. It's a quite ominous sounding band name, right?
It's a cool name though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Not really in line with the music that they make, as you've just heard. It's kind of they're blurring the lines between some post-punk feel and also some energetic garage rock, I guess, but with a very romantic undertone. So it's not gloomy or ominous sounding at all.
Wait, what? Romantic?
Yeah.
What, not this song though?
Well, look at the video. Maybe it gives a different feeling, but nothing changes. It's kind of a melodramatic, like melancholic feel. That's at least the feeling that I get from the songs that they make.
Okay. Well, these songs in general, I've only just discovered Death Bells, thanks to you. But this one sounded like he was just really fed up with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's a bit angry sounding, but if you look at the video and you listen more, it's also like it sounds like a love song gone wrong.
You're just such a romanticist.
It's quite angry sounding, but there's also something beautiful going on because it's not only like dark tones. It's a bit dramatic, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, interesting at least. Definitely, Jeroen, I agree. And back to the band, so a bit more info. 2 years after the incarnation of Death Bells, they moved 7,000 miles across the ocean to Los Angeles. After they did a big tour there in the US, well, big. They basically booked 20 shows, but 7 of them got cancelled. And they were driving around in a rental van with musical equipment they bought at Guitar Center on Sunset Boulevard. It was a bit of a mess, actually. And also, if you see the footage on YouTube of their live performances at that time, I'm talking about 2018, Will's voice lasts for only 5 minutes and then it completely breaks down. He's also more shouting than singing, as you've just heard. Anyway.
He's a belter, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But there's also a lot of passion behind it. But it's a belter, yeah. I really like what they've put out so far. And it's all on Spotify. Been following them for maybe a year right now. And I think this track gives a good picture of the band. And also, if you allow me, can I squeeze in a movie tip in our beloved section, The Big Picture?
Ah, there it is, The Big Picture. I've been missing it.
Here it is.
Man. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's a section we throw in if there is a link with the music that we play and discuss. If there's a really good movie tip, we'll definitely share it with you. And if not, we don't. But this is one that if you watch at the clip of Nothing Changes on YouTube, we'll include the clip in our show notes on our website. That is theinfected.nl.
The Big Picture.
If you ride like lightning, you're gonna crash like thunder. I'm not gonna let you bring us both down.
I'm talking about The Place Beyond the Pines. It's a movie from 2012. You know it by any chance? It's with Ryan Gosling.
No.
One of our favorite actors.
I love Ryan, but I managed to miss this one.
I don't know if it's on Netflix right now. I saw it a couple of years ago, but you can definitely get access to it easily. So it's a movie from 2012 with Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper as lead actors. It's about a motorcycle stunt rider, that's Ryan, He's got like dyed blonde hair. He's got tattoos all over him. He's wearing a Metallica shirt. But he's not only a motorcycle stunt rider, he turns into a bank robber as a way to provide for his lover and their newborn child. It's also a decision that puts him on a collision course with an ambitious rookie cop, Bradley Cooper. And that rookie cop's working in a department ruled by a corrupt detective, so it's kind of layered. It's got a 7.3 on IMDb. A lot of atmosphere, a lot of suspense. Highly recommended. Great soundtrack. And if you look at the clip of the music we just played, it also features a motorcycle driver on a dirt bike with dyed blonde hair with a suit. It's a one-on-one copy, basically, of the lead character in The Place Beyond the Pines. So you'll definitely recognize it if you watch it.
It's a star-studded cast, though. Those are two A-class actors.
Yeah, you've also got Eva Mendes and some other familiar faces. It's it's quality.
Well, now you got my attention. I mean, I like guys, but then there's Eva Mendes.
Totally agree, man. That's a natural beauty, Eva Mendes, if you ask me. And she can act. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, she's hella charismatic.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, you got me interested.
That's good.
I want to check that out, man.
Infect me.
I've got another discovery. It's called Velvet Condom. You ever heard of them?
No, it sounds hot.
Yeah.
Don't know that. Maybe heard of it?
Or was it Velvet Revolver?
No, Velvet Underground.
Was it Velvet Revolver?
Yeah, Velvet Revolver or something else.
There's a bunch of Velvet things around, but Velvet Condom, not really new. This track that we're going to play is from 2008.
Okay.
You might think it's a German band because the track is called Samt und Stein. And it's from an album called Stadtgeil.
Ah.
So, it's not a German band in the end. It's an art wave project from Strasbourg, France. The founding members, Nicolas Isner and Oberst Panizza, were brought up with classic guitar bands. Still, they shared the love for synths, drum machines and cold wave music that were incorporated into what would become the electric clash genre. The time was 2005 and they blended shoegaze guitars and electronics with German lyrics. Due to this, they got a lot of attention in Berlin. The duo, who lived and worked together since 2005, relocated to Berlin in 2008. The city inspired them to record their excellent second album, Stadtgeil, here, as an ode to the city. This track, Samt und Stein, is from that album.
Thank you.
cold indeed.
Yeah.
Cold and repetitive, but really interesting and nice and energetic at the same time. I'm just looking at this video clip you just shared, and they seem to wear cellophane on everything that they do, playing the synths and rolling around in cellophane in the park. And
it's weird, isn't it?
But all kidding aside, it's a really nice track.
Yeah, somehow the German works with that cold synth sound, and still slightly romantic somehow. But I like it, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, same here. And if you don't have that much budget, what you're going to do with the video? What kind of video clip would you make if you have $1 million with this track?
I don't know, man. Yeah.
Right? I think it would boil down to the same thing, but that doesn't matter because I'm really, really interested in hearing more. Velvet Condom, Stadtgeil also sounds quite horny, all these terms and tracks that they selected, but they are not German.
No. Well, they did go to Germany and became a band in Berlin. The Stadtgeil album was the start of their golden age, as they call it, from 2008 until 2013. 5 years of living and working in Berlin together, with the release of their boxed set Vanity and Revolt as the climax and final touch. In 2014, they disbanded after 10 years of Velvet Condom.
Okay.
So in 2015, they did return under the name Liste Noire, a new incarnation of Velvet Condom with Nicholas Isner and Oberst Panizza, now joined by a new member, Kalle, on guitar and keyboards to play disco noir as a genre. So Liste Noire released two EPs, an album and a last single in 2018. And after that, Nicholas worked together with his partner in crime and his wife, Jamila Paris, and now performed together under Nicholas' stage name, Alice Gift.
Cool.
Also in 2021, Velvet Condom released a new remix of a song by Paranormalis. So the story does continue somehow.
So you brought a couple of fresh tracks this week again. You tend to bring...
Yeah, we're not stuck in the 80s this time.
No, but please allow me to do and take us back to the 80s.
Oh!
One time. Not all tracks this week, but just this one. Thanks to our listener Dieter, who also made the custom mix for us. And I discovered this track, well, because of Dieter, actually. It's one of the tracks in his mix. It's a track by Poésie Noire.
Ah, the Belgian band, yeah.
The Belgian band, yes, yes. Very little is known about them. They actually started their career in music in Belgium, I believe, in 85, when they won a Breakend rock festival. It is a long-lasting big festival set in Bree, Belgium, and that hosted large amounts of prestigious bands, also The Smiths, in 1984. So it's serious stuff. And after winning in the next year, the group was a supporting act to Dead Can Dance and also the Sisters of Mercy, and a lot of gigs that they did on their own. So not a bad start, if you ask me, after winning this festival.
Not bad at all, not bad at all.
No, same. And originally, Poésie Noire, they had 7 members, but soon there were only 3. And that makes sense, because imagine having to agree and connect with 7 freaking people to make music, right? Align with 7 people.
It's also a lot of people to be sharing the money with for your performances.
Yeah, that's even more important, perhaps. Yes, that's true. You could basically translate their band name as black or dark poetry, I guess. Also, they were categorized as an electronic body music band like other Belgian members of the 1980s electronic music scene, like Front 242 or Neon Judgment. But there were more than that. You cannot just put them into the EBM genre. So Poésie Noire, they wanted to move away from the usual electronic aggressiveness that characterized EBM, and they developed a more mainstream accessible sound that helped them to be seen as a, well, more plain new wave or dark wave band. Unfortunately, Poésie Noire ceased to exist already in 1992, at the time they were released from their record deal, and the band signed onto EMI Belgium, a much larger label, and they also changed their band name into TBX, and that stands for To Be Excited. Kind of cheesy, right? Come on. TBX, To Be Excited.
That's
what
terrible.
But anyway, so they released some stuff under that band name, but it didn't really do too well in the eyes of EMI and also the public. So their music isn't maybe meant for mass production or mass consumption after all. So they were deleted from the EMI catalog shortly afterwards. During the end of the 90s, the band members chose different career paths. So Johan is one of the guys. He worked in a company that coordinates musical mega events. Marianne worked in a large company who helped people find a job. So that's recruitment. And Herman was working on making electronic gear under the Sherman brand name. And that's one brand name that I really know. Because as you know, I've bought and sold plenty of synthesizers and experimented with a lot of stuff late 90s when I had the time to do so in my study years. And in fact, he worked on the first handmade filter known as the Sherman Filter Bank. And it's still used by many renowned artists to this day, such as Air, the Chemical Brothers, Madonna, the Rolling Stones. Just a cool little fact. So there's one Belgium band member from Poésie Noire that really made some solid hardware. I can put an image of that Sherman filter bank on the website for our gear freaks, gear heads out there. At some point, they joined up again, because in 2010 there was an album released by Poésie Noire. Anyway, it was hard enough to find any information on them at all, Jeroen, to be really honest. The track has a kind of a new beat also feel, like house music before house music had a label. So let's listen to it. I'll shut up right now. I've been talking way too much, and we can enjoy it together. Here we go. The Gioconda Smile by Poésie Noire.
Skin.
Well, that's a pretty chaotic track.
It is. Chaotic, hectic shit going on.
But yeah, yeah.
I quite like it.
It's all over the place, man.
That's true. So it's more maybe like a new beat or a bit of a house track, but it's got a nice edge. It's interesting enough. This is a bit of a filler, but just felt like it.
Just a bunch of people having fun with a sampler.
That's true. Yeah.
And a drum machine.
Well, yeah. Summarized. Yeah, yeah. Again.
A good time.
True.
It sounds like good times. That it does.
I agree.
So, now that we're in Belgium, we're going to stay in Belgium.
Sweet.
Because I want to talk about Goose. Did you know Goose?
Nope. Can't say that okay. I heard of them.
Goose, we're going to play Control in a little bit. It's the title track of the third album by dark electro rockers Goose. They're from Kortrijk in Belgium. And when they started out, I was living in Belgium and I heard them first on the famous radio station Stubru, Studio Brussels, which I highly recommend, by the way. Stubru.be is the URL where you can hear their radio stream.
Cool.
They play a lot of alternative music, lots more than you'd hear on many mainstream channels. Anyway, so stubru.be is where you can find that. Back to Goose. Goose actually are still active today, but this track is from 2012. And it was a turning point in their career. After a hard-hitting debut album that took the world by surprise and a much more sophisticated second album, by 2012 Goose had become an act of international renown, with a reputation for delivering high-energy live performances. Having played several prominent festivals and getting frequent airplay in Belgium and England, at the time they felt it was time to set up their own record company for their third effort, which would guarantee the foursome complete control over their music. I guess that's why it's called Control. The album.
Okay, got it.
So, interestingly enough, although they wanted Control, for the first time they did outsource the production with this album to producer Paul Stacey, who had worked with the Black Crowes and Oasis. This producer clearly focused on the group's raw live energy. With that, Control instinctively feels as spontaneous as their first album or their infamous Rockwerchter gigs. From the very first note, the guitars claim a prominent role. Not so surprising, Goose started as a full-blooded rock band before they turned to darkness, synths, and beats. This track makes me feel like I'm wandering through a slum where the darkest elements of the 80s still hide and come at you in mist and shadows. The track invokes the sinister spirit of Forefathers front 242 blended with barbed wire strung guitars and punishing beats. An orchestra of the damned playing symphonic synths that build up and swell into a sweaty, restless, distorted nightmare. Exciting.
Man, that sounds good already. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Back to where we began with this track.
Yes, we are.
It's a track about frustration. Can't control my body. I can't control my mind. And then this driving, forceful beat and shrieking guitars and the synth sounds that really hit home. I love this track, man.
Yeah, I love it too. And it's, well, the frustration kind of comes across. And I really like that sharp synthesizers in between.
Yeah.
You know, that give the drum section an extra layer of frustration and energy. And also cheated a bit because during this track in the last minute, I checked them out on Spotify. There's a track called Sinrise with 5.7 million listens.
Yeah.
It's also really good.
Yeah.
I should do my homework better because I didn't know of this band. But thanks for putting it onto my radar, my friend.
Yeah. What I like, they're an awesome live band, and they are managed to bring a lot of energy to their shows. So if they play a lot of festivals. I know they have a program for this summer. They're touring in Australia right now, I think. Be sure to check them out, Goose. Mm.
Sounds good. Hopefully we can do so shortly.
Right.
If those COVID measures by the government get relieved 1 week at a time, we can enjoy some bands live again, hopefully.
Oh man, I'm so looking forward. I have like 25 postponed concerts that are going to happen between now and in 2 years' time. Sitting on all these tickets.
Yeah, man. Hey, by the way, a question. We started this podcast when COVID broke out and we were in lockdown. Yeah. That's why we're called The Infected, among other reasons. Shall we continue this after the world opens up again?
No. When COVID is over, this podcast will self-destruct.
It stops. Let's enjoy it while we can, right?
Exactly. And as long as we don't have shows to go to, at least we have this show for you to listen to, right?
Yep. For all eternity, it will be online forever.
Right.
And we've got plenty of episodes that you can also check out.
Right. A bit of dark solace for your soul.
Yep.
So apart from this great show, we have a treasure trove waiting for you at the website theinfected.nl. Go to the site to check out links to the video clips of today's movie tip, as well as some of the tracks we just played. You can access a bunch of mixes by hero DJs like Max Weemoed from the Netherlands and Dieter from Belgium. But you can also find interviews with many of our heroes like the lovely NNHMN, Non-Human, Despair Jordan, Vision Video of Blood and Wine, Metacross, and of course Dutch Wave Heroes Secret Sounds. Read all of their stories on theinfected.nl. And while you're there, pick up some merchandise. We have awesome phone cases and trendy t-shirts. By the way, if you'd like a t-shirt, you can win one right now. Because, to close off the show, we have another 8-bit minute competition for you. If you recognize the track you hear right after this, let us know via Insta, our website theinfected.nl, or mail us at theinfectednl@gmail.com.
8-bit minute. 8-bit minute. 8-bit minute.
So, dear listener, which band and song do you hear in this 8-bit minute?